Greetings, everyone, all those who are here today. Just like to say thank you for being here. And all those who are online, again, I'd just like to say thank you for being gracious to join us today. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is good and moving, always moving on those who are searching and seeking after Him. Amen. He's able to reveal things to us. Amen. Able to show us things. And I praise God for His mercy and His grace. Amen. Why don't we just go ahead now and give this over to the Lord and pray. Ask the Lord to just anoint the service. But not only myself, but you see, we all have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to teach and preach as the Lord shows me via sound doctrine. Amen. And you have a responsibility to receive and listen, to discern, and to apply things to your life just as much as I need to apply it to my life. We all have a responsibility, and we must hold each other accountable before God so that we can make it. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. Amen.
Amen.
We want to make sure that we sharpen each other.
Praise the Lord.
So that we're made ready.
Praise the Lord.
Brandished in the fires of affliction. Amen. So why don't we go ahead and pray? Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now for what you're doing, oh Lord, for the course that you're showing us to take, the road, oh Lord God, your Spirit leading, guiding, and directing, covered by the blood, washed by the Word of God. Lord God, now we pray that you would take over this service even now by thy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to take these words, O Lord God, and like a sword and a spear, to pierce it into the hearts of every man and woman, child, who would listen and to hear, Lord God, who have eyes to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand. We give this over to you now and ask that you would bless it according to your will and according to your purpose. This we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Well, we have a, looks like a request here. Samuel was good enough to make a copy of it. And this is for a lady by the name of Emily, our dear friend. I believe she's in Colorado. Is that the one? Yeah. Her sister is Becca. And his...
Oh, John.
And John is his brother. And we thank God for that. Good people, good folk. And Emily is asking that we would pray that she would receive the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
So I know that we're going to pray together in agreement with one accord. Pray that she will receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I want to encourage our dear friend Emily out there in Colorado to continue in the Word, because there you're going to find the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Permeate your life with the Word of God. Fill it with His words. Seek God every day for the Spirit of that Word to fill your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your words every day. And you'll soon find yourself filled with the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for our dear friend Emily, that beloved sister in Christ, along with her dear family. we come together in agreement and one accord. As touching this thing, Lord God, now that you would touch her heart, fill her heart, Lord God, with thy precious Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord God, only you can touch her. Only you can fill her. For there is none other spirit, oh Lord God, that can reveal your word but by the Holy Ghost. That can fill hearts with the knowledge and truth but by the Holy Ghost. That can convict and convince but by the Holy Ghost. That can lead sinners and Christians alike to look into the mirror, to seek and to search after truth but by the Holy Ghost. But we thank you, Lord, for our dear sister. We believe now, by faith, believing and rejoicing and thanking you right now in advance. Oh, Lord God, for what you're doing in her life, filling her to the full.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
But doing so day by day, morning by morning, evening, morning, and noon. In Jesus' name we pray under the blood. Amen. So let it be.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, Sister Emily will be looking forward to a good report now. Looking forward to hearing that good report. And I know we will. I have faith to believe it.
Amen.
I feel it in my spirit. I know it's going to happen.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. So, we're going to open our chorus book to God knows what. I don't know yet. Well, let's just be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And He'll show us what to sing. I've always heard that you can never go wrong, ever, by keeping the blood of Jesus in your songs and sermons. Amen? Why don't we just start there? Oh, the blood of Jesus, number 45. Let's just start there. Keep the blood of Jesus before you. What He did on the cross for your sins and for mine. You can never go wrong. You'll always be steered rightly. Amen. By keeping the blood of Jesus in the forefront. By reminding people of what the blood of Jesus has done for you and me. Let's go there. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, wash his white as snow. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Don't be afraid to lift your hands, clap. Praise God. Amen. Don't be afraid to do so. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to sing another one here now. We're coming out of Babylon. And you know, the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? Coming out of Babylon. And the Bible is talking truly about the heart coming out of Babylon.
That's right. Amen.
We might be here in Babylon physically, but the Lord wants our hearts removed from the things of Babylon. Amen.
Oh, wow.
Come out from among them. Oh, those words. Let's sing that. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We're taking our hearts down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free. With a shout, praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our hearts down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shall praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Oh, praise God in heaven. Oh, Lord God, you're worthy to be praised. Amen. Lord God, you're worthy to be praised and glorified and honored. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing, though, Lord God. Melting hearts, convincing people of sin, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing now. I don't care what anyone thinks or says, oh God. But let every man be a liar, oh Lord God, that you be true. So says the Word of God. Oh, Lord God in heaven.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father. Well, we sing one more here called Reach Out and Touch the Lord. It's another chorus. Now, I know we sing these songs a lot, don't we? Almost every Sunday, every other Sunday, whatever it is. But they all have a message. And we need to hear these over and over. People may not think so. People might feel like, oh, that song again. Oh, another singing that again. But yet, if people will get beyond that mountain and look beyond that sphere influence of the mind and the carnal. And look to the spiritual. What is it saying? What is it trying to show us? How is the Spirit of God leading? How true it is that men and women everywhere are soon to forget things, aren't we? So apt and prone to forget so soon the things that God has shown us. And we need to be reminded over and over.
Amen.
Even
That's
in the
true.
Word of God.
That's right.
To be reminded until one day something clicks. The light bulb goes off. Aha, that's what it means.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That's what it means. So it was with many of the Israelites in the desert. But many of them didn't realize what they were doing. And they lost out because they didn't keep God first. They didn't keep God in the forefront of their hearts and minds. They soon forgot what God did for them, didn't they? Going through the Red Sea, all the miracles in between. They forgot. They soon forgot what the Lord had done for them. So we need to be reminded.
Praise you, God.
Let's sing that. Reach out and touch the Lord. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Oh, praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God in heaven. Glory to God, amen. Glory to God.
Praise you, Lord.
Glory to God, amen. We're going to sing one more here, perhaps. Number 88, Fill My Cup, Lord. 88 in the chorus. Fill my cup, Lord. Let's go there and ask the Lord not only to fill your cup, but to fill it to the full. Overflowing with the Spirit of God, amen. So that the very words of God, like honey, is dripping off your lips. The very words of God are permeating and surrounding the heart, your heart, fertilizing it to receive, tenderizing that garden, that it grows, grows. And grows some more and bears fruit. Amen. How we need that.
Praise you, Lord.
The conditions of the heart are so apt to change unless we're anchored in Jesus Christ. Let's go there. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Make me whole. Fill my cup and make me whole. Why don't we go to number one more song before we begin today, called Have Faith in God. Have Faith in God. One more song. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God for deliverance, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Glory to God in heaven. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to go ahead now and take up our tithes and offerings. And if I could ask one of the gentlemen, whoever would like to come up here and take up tithes and offerings. Would you be gracious to do that? Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. And if anybody has anything that they would like to share, say a testimony, anything of edification, victory, comfort, exhortation, of any kind, just feel free to raise your hand. Amen. The Lord will certainly thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh.
Praise you, Jesus.
I'll stick my envelope in the bucket later. Forgot it in the car. I just want to say thank you, though, to the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
For what He's doing. For the work that He's doing in the hearts, not only in my life, but in all the lives that are out here today. We may not have a full church. There are several people here, but we may not have a full church. But that's okay. Because this is the day and age of the separating the sheep from the goats. This is the time and the process of which this is being done. The Lord is doing such a thing. And it's happening every day. count yourself blessed if you still have a heart to serve God. If you have a heart to love God. That can never be understated or overstated. Heavenly Father, thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. And thank you, Lord God, that you would help us to continue this ministry. That you would continue, Lord, to help us to spread the Word of God, the light of God, the Word of God. Your Spirit, oh, the precious Holy Ghost, to continue to lead, guide, and direct. Thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings, that we would continue to be good stewards of it. This we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Shirley.
Praise the Lord. You're welcome.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sam. I don't know. I was in prayer before church, and I didn't know what to do except to pray for Emily that she would receive the Holy Ghost. And as I was praying that prayer for her, I was asking the Lord to show me, to lead, guide, and direct. And I opened up to a scripture that lines perfectly up with what I had wanted to preach today. And I guess I don't even know what to call the message, except let's just say, let's call it conditions of the heart. Amen? Conditions of the heart. I opened it up to Jeremiah chapter 4 today, as I opened the Bible this morning. And so if we could go there, turn to Jeremiah chapter 4. I don't know what the Lord is, how the Lord's going to lead from here, but I had planned a certain message and certain scriptures, but we'll just go with what the Lord does. Amen. So, starting out here in chapter 4, Jeremiah, verse 1, it says here in verse 1, "If thou wilt return, O Israel," oh, return. If thou wilt return. What happened in Israel? Much like it was in the days of Nehemiah. Oh, everything was torn down. People have forgotten about God. They let idols get in their hearts, in their ways, where they thought of, they drank, they ate, until they were made merry. Their hearts were made merry with wine and drink and fun. Amen? But that's not what the Lord has called us to do in this life. But to put those things of ease behind us and to put God first. Amen? Those crutches of comfort. We need to put that behind and put God first. It says here, "O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove." In other words, you will not be removed. You'll be held, you'll be steadfast, and the Lord, by his keeping power, will keep you in the way. Amen? "And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and in the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." What does the Bible say about glory? I believe it's in chapter, bear with me here. Yeah. Chapter 9. What does it say in chapter 9, Jeremiah? Verse 22, it says, "Speak, Thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field. And as the handful after the harvestmen, oh, that's what we'll be talking about today too, the harvestmen. And none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Don't tell yourself, I've got all these things, I have to build new barns to put all my riches. Don't be boastful about the things that you have. Don't look for that kind of lifestyle. Don't go looking for ways to make all this money. Even though money you need to survive, yes, but you need God more. Amen? You need God more. In verse 24 it says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's what the Bible says. In Jeremiah 9:24, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Oh, praise God. Do you know the Lord today? How do you know the Lord? Well, let's go back to chapter 4. Because what does it say there? For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Sow not among thorns. What does that mean? The cares of this life. The cares of the world. Everything is put before God. Sow not among thorns. As we'll soon read in Matthew chapter 13. Amen? Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Not to the world, but to the Lord. And take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. According to Deuteronomy 10:36. Oh my. According to the evil of your doings. You know, we have a problem in this country. It's a sin problem. We have a problem in this country with idolatry. Idolatry of every kind. Now, I'm not here to try to offend anyone, but if the Word of God offends, take that as a warning. Take that as a sword showing you that you need to change. The areas in your life that need to change. Amen? All I am is a messenger. Amen. I'm not here to try to dig into your personal life or anyone else's personal life. I didn't come here for that. In fact, I didn't even come here to preach. I didn't come here for that either. I came here to sit under Pastor David and learn. My whole thought process at the time was to take notes, learn, and serve. That's why I came here. To serve God. Things that happened the way they did, and I don't know why and what. I can't explain it. But God knows. Amen? Anyways. It says here, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that which none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. The evil of your doings. It comes from the heart, not circumcised. It comes from a ground, not broken up and fallow. In other words, from a life that doesn't walk in humility, that hasn't known God, that ground that's hard and crusty, where the Word of God can't penetrate. The Spirit of God can't move because of unbelief. Amen. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. That's what we're doing today. Blowing the trumpet. Calling on people to change their lives. Calling on people to repent. Calling on people to wake up, to break up your fallow ground. To say, Lord, look. Woe am I, a man of unclean lips in the midst of an unclean people. According to Isaiah 6:9. Woe am I. Woe am I if I don't change. If I stay the way that I am. In my reckless behavior. The reckless way that I might think. Do you know that the Lord knows every thought? The Lord knows every thought that we think. And that those thoughts, unless they are brought under control, unless even those thoughts must be repented of. Did you know that? Did you know that those wicked, evil thoughts that we think, we need to sometimes just need to say, look, devil, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I don't receive that. That doesn't come from the Lord. I rebuke that. And I'm not going there. I don't receive those thoughts. You can do that. Amen? Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet of the land, cry. It says, cry. Gather together and say, assemble yourselves. Where are the people today? Churches. Let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire. Stay not. For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The Masons don't think that there's anything in the north, do they? They think that they have the east, the west, and the south, but nothing in the north. But yet promotion comes from the north. God resides on the sides of the north. That's where God is. The devil is busy blaspheming God. Blaspheming God's people for what they believe. Calling them names. Calling them idiots for going to church. Throwing homosexuality and abortion in people's faces and trying to call it normal. We have a sin problem in this country. The lion has come up from his thicket. Oh, you know, the Lord is coming back with a vengeance. The Lion of Judah. Oh, he's coming back soon. Will people be ready? Or will people be caught asleep? Do you know that in dead churches, the devil is sitting in the back pew asleep too, just along with those that are asleep? But as long as the Word of God comes around and preaches truth, the devil wakes up. And then when it's at night, he'll try to come and sow wicked seed among those people. That's why you don't see churches filled today. That's why you see people filled with confusion. Many tares that look like wheat but aren't wheat. But they're full of confusion all the day long, sowing discord, amen, among people, among the brethren. Lying tales, telling tales and lies. Gossip. Those are tares. Got to be careful. This is not a game. The lion has come up from his thicket. And the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He's right on his heels. One calamity after another. He is gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and the cities shall be laid waste without inhabitant. There's only one city, that city whose maker and builder is God, that I want to be in. Amen? Yeah. For this, gird you with sackcloth. Lament and howl. Lament and howl. For the fierce anger of the Lord is turned back from us. It's not turned back from us. In other words, the Lord is angry every day with sinners. And I know I preached that last week, but that's true. He's angry every day, and his anger is not turned back. And people have been lied to and deceived, and they think that they're Christians and they're not. And I know I said that last week, but that's true again. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princesses, and the priest shall be astonished, and the prophet shall wonder. You see, the hearts, that's the issue. Conditions of the heart. Amen? That's what we're talking about today. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, Ye shall have peace, whereas a sword region into the soul. You see, people separate themselves oftentimes by the very sin that they do in their lives. Sin separates. The sword will divide asunder between the bone and the marrow. The sword of God, the word of God, the spirit of God. It will divide. So in other words, you don't have to go looking to divide as they thought that they would do in Matthew 13. And then they asked the Lord, what should we do? No. The Lord does the dividing. He'll separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's right.
He'll separate it out. Leave that to Him. Mm-hmm. You're going to have wheat and tares growing up in churches, full of churches, all over the world. But in the end, they'll be separated. So today, I'm encouraging people to make your calling and election sure. Don't take it for granted. Don't yawn your way through life. Don't put your legs up and your feet up and rest like everything is okay when it's not. When your very soul is at stake. When we need to be looking and searching and seeking God every day. Because you see, we're not as good as we think we are. We're not as good as we think we are. Because of that standard that we were just talking about. So let's go now to verse 11. At that time shall it be said to this people, and to Jerusalem, a dry wind. Oh, the dry wind of the high places in the wilderness towards the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. No. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind, his horses as swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Robbed, it means. They're robbed. Robbed of the word of God because of sin. Their land being made desolate, empty. Rugged terrain, as we'll soon learn about in Matthew 13. Oh, Jerusalem, wash thine heart from thy wickedness, and that thou mayest be saved, it says here. How are you saved? by the washing of your heart to be cleansed from sin. What does that? The blood of Jesus. The only thing that can wash your heart. The blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. Washed, cleansed, and purified. That hyssop that cleanses. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Did you see that? Thy vain thoughts, according to Isaiah 1:16. Oh my goodness, we have a problem in this country. But there's a sin problem all over the world. You see, this is something you have to think about. When you watch certain movies, videos, they lodge into your heart. Those thoughts you have to carry with you. Did you know that? You have to carry that with you wherever you go. And it interrupts your prayer life. When you get into that place of prayer, it serves to interrupt you. Those wicked thoughts will come into your heart, into your mind, and interfere with that time of solace between you and God. It's a wicked thing. And the devil uses that as a weapon to take you away from that time with God, to find that true path, to take you away, to take your mind and heart away from God. And it goes on to say, for a voice declareth from Dan. Oh, have you ever been there to Jerusalem, Israel? I've been there. I've been to the river Dan. And I have to say, there's a lot of neat things to see there. The terrain is very unique. And publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim, the hills of Ephraim. That's what we're talking about. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. In other words, missionaries. Missionaries will come and give warning. Watchers will give warning. People, sin not. Walk and run from sin. Turn away. Turn your back on the world. Amen. Turn your back on sin and walk towards God. That's what happens. When your back is towards sin, you're going to be facing God. Isn't that right? Oh, it goes on to say, as keepers of the field, are they against her round about? Because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord is not playing games here, is he? The Lord is talking, he's talked more about hellfire and destruction than anything else. To give warning. To give place for warning. That people might find a place of repentance while there's still time. While he may still be found. You know, I was just reading, doing a study. I went to this place I like to go to. An old country church. And surrounded by fields and a hill. And nice and quiet. Just nothing but the geese. Flies, butterflies, squirrels, things like that, kind of running around, flying around, nothing else, no cars of any kind. But I remember now, just the other day as I was over there, as I was reading and giving heed to the Word of God, and I remember writing down the words how that people need to repent and get right with God before it's too late. I remember writing those words down on a piece of paper. And I began to hear hoof beats of a horse on the. I looked around, where is that coming from? And I heard it again and again. And it stirred my attention. And then I heard a neighing of a horse. I literally heard the neighing of a horse. You know how it neighs? And I knew it was on that hill behind me at that point. I walked up there. I stopped what I was doing. See, I don't remember of any ranches around here. I don't know of any horse farms or anything like that. I walked up there, and I saw this path, like something's been walking through the field there. But I didn't see no horse, no sign anywhere, and I went right up there right away. But it reminded me of the horse and chariots of the Lord soon returning. He's coming back on that white horse. When I heard that neighing of the horse, that to me was another sign that the Lord was showing that the time is near. He's about to come back. The neighing of the horse, the hoofbeats are being heard. Amen. And it goes on to say here in 18, verse 18, thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth into thine heart. My bowels, I am pained. And, oh, did you see that? At my very heart. Do you have a heart to feel that today? My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet. The alarm of war is about to happen in this country, the world over. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled suddenly. Are my tents spoiled? And my curtains in a moment. Oh, according to Psalm 42:7, amen. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. Did you know that there is a people that is foolish out there today? We don't have to be among them, because the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, that I will be a father unto you. Amen. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil. Did you see that? But to do good, they have no knowledge. They're wise to do evil. Very clever. In fact, they find ways to do evil. To do more and more and more. But to do good, they have no knowledge or understanding. They have to look up in a book. What does it mean to do good? 50 ways to do acts of kindness. So they'll look it up. What do I got to do to be kind to someone? I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. Who is in charge? God is. God's in charge. He's the one who created the earth, not man. Man's not in charge. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. Are we trembling? This is talking about the fear of God. And all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place. Oh, yes. What are we talking about now? The heart. Void of fruit. a life that is fruitless, as we'll soon find out. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. You know, when you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you are also fruitless. I'm not saying that those who desire the Spirit of God are fruitless. You're striving for the mastery, you're contending for the faith, you're praying, you're seeking God, and that's a good thing. God is working with you. I'm talking about those who neglect so great a salvation. What will they do in the end thereof, it says in the Bible, as we'll find out here. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. Oh, He's angry, like I said, every day. Don't think that we can think that we can get by and the Lord is going to wink at sin. You know, when we see sin in other people and we know that they're wrong, we don't wink at them. We don't poo-poo that. We're supposed to reprove it and correct. Amen? That's the godly way to do it. That's the biblical way to reprove sin, to come against it, to point it out. It's not like you're coming against somebody because you hate them. No. Not at all. Because you love them enough to point it out. And you want it to be reproved. They could be healed and converted. Amen. Come back. They could serve the Lord and be fruitful. That's what we're doing. From the beginning. For thus saith the Lord. For thus hath the Lord said, it says in verse 27 here. The whole land shall be desolate, yet will I make it, yet will I not make a full end. In other words, there will be a remnant. There will still be a remnant. Amen? For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it. I have proposed it and will not repent. Neither will I turn back from it. In other words, the Lord has made up His mind. He wants you and me to make up our minds to serve God or to serve sin. Who is on the Lord's side? Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, in Joshua it says, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Will you serve the Lord? As for me and my house, the whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go in thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And finally, the final two verses. And when thou shalt... It goes on in verse 30. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? What wilt thou do in the end? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold. Now, oh, you know, how people like to make themselves all pretty and handsome and cute. Put makeup on their face about an inch thick, maybe 2 inches in some people. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they put on there. Some white stuff. I don't know what people, I don't know. I don't know what it's called. Anyways, a cream or dust, I don't know. But they do whatever they do there, put that stuff on their face. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because I don't know who does what here, okay? It's not about anyone in particular that I'm thinking of. Just reading the Word of God. Though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. What that's talking about, though, isn't so much the painting on your face as it is the heart. In your heart. It's a heart issue. Amen? Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. In other words, when you deck yourself, when you prostitute yourself to the things of the world will kill you. It'll turn and kill you and rend you and mock you. And it's a trap, is what it's saying here.
Right.
Don't go in there. Don't go there. For I have heard the voice, a voice, as a woman in travail and in anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion. The voice of the daughter of Zion. The one who should be making herself ready for the bride, as a bride to meet Christ. Amen? That bewaileth herself. That spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now. For my soul is wearied because of murderers. And what did they do with Jesus? What did they do with Jesus? What happened in that day? Let's go to Matthew 13. Because see what happened in Matthew 13. What preceded Matthew 13 was that Jesus in Matthew 12 was talking about and going about healing people that were paralyzed, that needed help, that needed deliverance. And Pharisees and scribes were looking to find a way to murder Jesus. They wanted to find a way to murder. They accused him. How can you do this? What right do you have to heal someone on the Sabbath? As he was going into the cornfield, as they were eating the heads of corn, the kernels, how that they made mockery of Jesus' disciples for doing so. Now that was all in chapter 12, Matthew, which kind of gives you the background as to what happened next. Because see, in Matthew 13, we're talking about the parable of the sower. Amen? In Matthew 13, in verse 1, it goes on to say, the same day went Jesus out of the house. See, Jesus at that time, there was such an uproar over what was going on that there was a big crowd that had followed Jesus wherever he was going because of the miracles and the things taking place. And what happened? They were by the sea. Jesus found a boat because the crowd was so large, so huge. He needed a platform. He got on a boat so that they would all face him one way and he was facing the other. They could all hear him. He was the first one of those open air meetings to hold such meetings where thousands would gather. Amen. Goes on to say here, sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered unto him, together unto him. So that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Did you see that? The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now he's giving an illustration here now, a word picture as to the wickedness of men's hearts, as to what he had just gone through in the previous chapter 12, and how that they were calling in names and blaspheming him, mocking God. You can't get away with mocking God. God is not mocked. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Did you know that God only sows good seed? Did you know that three quarters of that seed was lost? In other words, you can't pick and choose who you're going to preach to, who you're going to sow seed to. We're to sow seed liberally. Get that seed, the Word of God, and throw it out there. Throw it out there liberally, like a farmer does on the field. Throw it out there. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Oh my. Well, that ground, the wayside, is a hardened path, is it not? It's a path that has become hardened from sin. Hardened, compact, so that the Word of God cannot penetrate that heart. The Word of God cannot penetrate that soil. There are four kinds of soil, as we're going to find out. And this hardened path is called the wayside. In other words, it's waste for them because they don't want anything to do with it. You have people and you have churches all over the world that come to church. Well, what am I going to do on Sunday? I have nothing better to do. I'll go to church. I'll kick my legs up. But it makes no impression on their heart whatsoever. Doesn't do them a bit of good. They come to church. They'll listen. You might preach your heart out to them, and not one bit of it went into their heart. Because why? The heart was hardened. Interesting. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. We don't know who those people are, but God does. Although the Bible does say you'll know them by their fruit, don't they? Doesn't it? But God does the final separating. You see, people the world over will go to church. And they'll shake your hand. Oh, they'll even tell you a joke or two. They'll even sit and eat with you, lunch, breakfast, whatever. But the minute you say something to them that they don't agree with, they'll mock you, make fun of you, call you names. Because they were never, not all Israel is of Israel. They leave you. They go. They run. They don't stick around. They don't want to be reproved. Amen. They don't have a heart to hear it. Hebrews, if you go there, chapter 4, where is he? Let's go to Hebrews. Reminds me of something here. Hebrews, if I can find it. I think it's right before James. Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4. And if you go, let's just start. I want to go to 7, but let's just go to start in 6, where it goes on to say, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They had unbelieving hearts. Yeah. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. According to Psalm 95:7. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward spoken of another day? Joshua talked about that. Where remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen? For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. Don't fall into that trap of unbelief. That's why you must break up that fallow ground, according to that word that we read in earlier. Amen? So, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. I just wanted to read that. It goes on to say here, and some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. Did you see that? And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Stony places. Now, did you know that in Israel, the land round about that land, they have 2 to 3 inches of topsoil. Underneath is solid bedrock. So that if you were to try to plant, something might grow immediately. But as soon as it grows, it might grow fast and furious. But as soon as the sun hits, boom, it withers. So it is with a stony heart. They come to a church, they might look alive. You might see people that will start out real on fire, look like they're really on fire for God, but 2 months later, they're drifting away. You know, it's like a soda pop. There's a lot of fizz when you first pour the drink. It dies out like a sputtering car out of gas. Amen? These, I'm reminded of, I call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. You know? They make a lot of noise, like as if a rocket on a launching pad, but they never get into orbit. Amen? They never get into orbit. They never go forward. They don't allow the Word of God to reach deep into their hearts because it's stony places. It's stony ground. Colossians chapter 2, if we could go there, kind of talks about that. Colossians chapter 2. Where is it? Here we go. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. 1 Thessalonians talks about that in chapter 4. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, rooted. It says rooted and built up in him. That reminds me of a tree with roots. Going deep. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So that's a problem in today's society. We have a sin problem today in this country where people aren't rooted deeply in the Lord. They're so quickly uprooted by things. And we're going to get to that next, aren't we? But it says here in verse 6, "And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away." They withered away. There's sometimes a Christian. They start out quick. They look like they're going to really, you know, grow and be somebody that's going to do a work for God, and all of a sudden, they fall away. But you know, it talks about that in verse 7 too, doesn't it? What does that say in verse 7? "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The cares of this world." You know, what is the problem today? Cares of this world. People are so busy getting caught up with things, money, that they don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to serve God, go on the mission field, witness to people on the street. They don't have time for it. And it's indicative of those that show up that are faithful or not faithful to church. You know, I was over there studying the Word again. I was reading this verse. And right about then, I heard these flocks of geese. And I was contemplating this. And these flocks of geese started making a big noise, flying round about. All of a sudden they were flying. Pretty soon more geese started to fly. Pretty soon two and three others were flying into that flock. They were crying a loud cry, these geese. And pretty soon they were calling others to gather with them. And they all landed in a field beyond the brush and trees out yonder. You see, what are they doing? What are we doing today? That reminded me how that, you know, we're calling people to be faithful. We're calling people to gather together, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You see, the day approaching. Amen. But yet people forsake the assembling of themselves together as they see the day approaching. A direct disobedience to the Word of God, and they wonder why they're cold. They wonder why they're weak. They wonder why they falter and they fail. They wonder why they don't have discernment. They wonder why they can't remain faithful, because, see, they give way to unfaithfulness. They give way to that temptation by the enemy. They are sowing seed among the thorns. As we read in that opening scripture today. And that's a big problem. That's a big problem. Big, 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 big problem today. Why don't we go to chapter 6. Talks about this very thing, doesn't it? Chapter 6 in Matthew, starting in 28. What happened there when Jesus is talking about, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how that they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like as one of these. Wherefore, If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith. Little faith. You know, that's a heart issue, isn't it, too? There's a man called Gypsy Smith. Back in 1860, he was born in 1860. Years ago, he had an affiliation with William Booth and Fanny, what's her name? Huh? Yeah, Fanny Crosby. And he was saved at the age of 15. He started preaching to the lilies of the field. Mm-hmm. Turnips and lilies. He started preaching. And he realized he had a calling on his life to preach. And towards the end of his life, an old man came up and laid his hands on his head, and he wanted to know the secret to his success. Laid his hands on his head, and Gypsy Smith goes on to say, no, lower. Put his hands on his heart, that's my secret. The secret was in his heart. Not in his head, in his heart. That was where the secret lay. Where that fallow ground was broken up, where he was completely surrendered to God. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For ye, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You don't have to worry about all the raiment, the clothing, cars. People spend their lives building things, trying to buy 20 sets of clothing for the end times because they want to make sure they have what they need. No, don't worry about all that. You can save up, you know, for maybe if the Lord puts it on your heart to put aside some food or whatever. But the Bible says don't worry about all these things. He'll take care of you. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
But seek ye, it says here, first the kingdom of God. And His, not yours, not mine, but His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take care, shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have enough trouble. You have enough on your plate for one day. Amen? But it says here in verse 8, Matthew 13, but other fell into good ground. Now, this is the ground where the Word of God is able to sink deep into a person's heart. The Word of God getting deep into the heart of somebody who then has something to share to give to others. Now, I'm not talking about just a preacher that would do this. I'm talking about every man and woman. Every man and woman has this ability to have good ground. If it goes into your heart and sinks deep in, you can be like Samson who pulled out that honey from the lion carcass. Secret place that He hid that word in His heart, didn't He? As you and me should hide the Lord's word in our heart to dig that hidden honey out and to share it with others. Look what I found in the Word of God. Look at this gem that I found in the Word of God that I can share with you. Here. It's sweet to the taste. It's good for you. Eat it. Amen. And it goes on to say, but the other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Hey, there's hope, but what is that? What are we talking about? How do you know what it is? Because you'll know them by their fruits, right? According to Galatians. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5, 22, I believe. Galatians chapter 5. I believe it's in verse 22. Right here. But before we go to 22, well, maybe I better, for the sake of time, we'll just go straight there instead of reading 19 there. We'll go straight to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, you can't hold somebody through legalism. You can't sit there and accuse and mock people because they have these gifts, the Spirit of God. No. That's above all of that legalism. You don't have to go there. You can judge all men, but you yourself are not judged because of the Spirit of God. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words here, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. So, I think that's going to be very important as we go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Because there it says what? In verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not your own selves? Know ye not your own selves, it says here. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Apart from Christ, we can do nothing and are nothing. But we are to examine ourselves, whether we be of the faith, whether be in Christ. Are we in Christ? Are we walking in Christ? Are we walking in the newness of life? Do we have the fruits of the Spirit? Do you have the fruits of the Spirit? That's a challenge, isn't it? If you don't have them, that ought to be a big challenge to seek after. Lord, what am I doing wrong? Where is my walk with you? Am I reprobate? Am I walking in the light, in the Spirit? But it goes on to say in Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto us these parables? And he answered and said unto him, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You know why? Because they turned a deaf ear to God. Because their hearts are hardened. Because they blaspheme God. It's not given to them to understand. But to those that are truly of God, it is given to understand. You'll think the Lord will reveal things to you. He'll sharpen you, your understanding. He'll quicken your mind and your heart, your thoughts. He'll show you. Amen? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given In other words, to those that have the Spirit of God, that walk in the Spirit of God, more light will He give them. He increases their strength and their faith and their light. He increases more spirit into them. And he shall have more abundance, it says. But whosoever hath not, in other words, to those that have no desire for the things of God, or they take it lightly, stony places, remember? The wayside, remember that? Thorny places. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seem see not. In other words, you can go, you ever talk to somebody? You're talking to them, you're speaking right to them. They're looking you in the face, and you know that they didn't hear a word you said. Have you ever been in front of people like that? It's as bad as talking to a haggard old drunk on a bar stool. There's no difference. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. Because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Their heart has become reprobate. Or it's the very beginnings. Because if you don't fear God, you're not going to love God. And if you don't love God, you're not going to want to hear what He has to say. Amen? You're not going to want to see things. You're not going to want to understand it because it might get in the way of going to that football game on Sunday. I've got to rush home and turn on the Packer game. Isn't that disgusting? Christians do that too, don't they? Call it wonderful. Call it a good thing. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. That's idolatry. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. It doesn't go deep into their hearts to perceive. They'll agree with you. They'll offer you a platitude of amens. Or they'll say, oh yeah, right, you know, amen, Tim. Sure, uh-huh. Anything that might sound good that, you know, yeah, right, all right, uh-huh. Got it. Understood. But it doesn't go into their heart. To their detriment. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Wow. You see, God isn't playing games. For the sake of time, why don't we go to verse 32 in Matthew, which indeed at least is at least of all seeds. We're talking about what? The mustard seed in verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So it is with the Word of God. You know, Jesus came, he was despised, he was mocked, he was made fun of. It started out small, but look, he died for your sins. You and I have to start out small. Anything that God is about to do and beginning to do usually starts out pretty small. Amen? Don't despise the day of small things. Zechariah 4:10. Why don't we just go there? Zechariah 4:10 talks about that. It says here, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven are they, the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Oh, the Lord is looking for such a people who will not despise the day of small things. Nehemiah 4:2, let's go there. Nehemiah 4:2 talks about that. Nehemiah 4:2 says here, "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria." Now, we're talking about here Nehemiah. And you had Sanballat and Tobias that were coming against the rebuilding. Now, I had a series on this. They're rebuilding the wall. And they were coming against the work of God. So it is, the devil is going to come against everything that you try to do. That's going to be for good. Amen? And he's going to use church people or anyone who will give ear to the devil to come against you for doing a work for God. Amen? Be careful who you associate with. Be careful to be in prayer. Be strong in the Lord. It says here, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps and rubbish which are burned?" Oh, it goes on to say in verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone." Well, that was, arrogant. But God thinks differently of you. Amen. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity." Amen? God isn't mocked. Go to 2 Kings, if you will. 22. 2 Kings 22. And Josiah, I can't stay there very long. I was going to go through the whole chapter, but I can't do that. But it does go on to say here, Josiah seeking after God. They found the word of God hidden in a building. Hilkiah, who was the father of Jeremiah, must have been a good mentor for young Josiah, who was at the age of 8 when he became a king. And young Josiah, looking for mentorship, looking for leading and guiding, asked Hilkiah and others to go to seek out. And they found a book. Hilkiah found it. Jeremiah's father gave it to a man. Now, we'll read it right here. And it goes on to say, in verse, let's go to verse, oh boy, the whole chapter is so good. Anyways, let me just paraphrase some of this. Shaphan read the book. Hilkiah gave it to him, the high priest gave it to him to read. Josiah rent his clothing out of anguish because he read the words of God written from the hand of Moses, which more than likely would have been the writings of Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Genesis, other books. It would have been an autographed copy of Moses' handwriting. And Josiah realizing the fact that they were told to read the Word of God. Each king was to have a copy of the Word of God. And they were supposed to read it to the people every 7 years. Realizing that these things were not taking place, Josiah rent his clothes, knowing that all these things by his predecessor, not only his father Ammon, but Manasseh for 55 years ruled, have done away with such things. They transgressed against God. And so what happened here in verse 19? He brought it to the prophetess Huldah. And Huldah, by the Spirit of God, said, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, then thou heardest what I spoke, or what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And it has rent thy clothes, and has wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. Oh, praise God, because of what his heart was softened. His heart received the word of God. Amen. It was broken ground. He received the word of God with readiness. It went deep into his heart. Break up your fallow ground, the Word of God says. Yeah. Psalm 119, if we can go there real quick, in closing. Psalm 119. In 9 it says here, 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." I want to close with that. Ask you to think about that for a moment. Have you hid the Lord's word in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord? We're to break up that fallow ground. It's a condition of the heart, isn't it? It sure is. Well, praise God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would cause this word to go forth, that it would not return void, that it would go forth into the hearts of ground that has been broken up, that fallowed ground would truly be broken and softened, that it could receive thy word, that your word would grow and sprout, and that it would bear fruit according to thy perfect will and purpose and plan. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and sing now. In closing. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
We're going to sing now. Let God have His way. Let's just go into the chorus book, number 25. Let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turns to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise God. Be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe they'll call it the assumption. you know, question mark.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's very, very firm Catholicism. It's going to be, and I think a lot of little tension between my mom and dad.
You'll probably know some of that too.
Hopefully she's there.
Yeah,
right.
I'm
interested.
Yeah.
far was that?
Could it work?
Sure.
Then we'll try to get people.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, it's dead stores.
Yeah. And the whole video is cool, but that moved it. My dad, he got shot. I think he shot by accident. And then he got shot and he spoke to me too. It's like a memory hole inside his foot.
Okay.
And the
doctor said, is this your kind of
Thank you.
you want to get over to the Madison or to Milwaukee there today or no?
You want to?
If you want, I'll have to open the change though. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I guess it'd be all right to do that. I guess. I mean, open our day. Good heart, good purposes.
You have their address?